For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 26th, 1996. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Duran of New Joy Ministries, Youngstown, Phoenix, Arizona, is the speaker of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
What a morning.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Jack Duran from New Joy Ministries, Youngstown, Phoenix, Arizona, come and minister the morning message to us this morning. Brother Jack.
Somebody praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't God wonderful? Did I impress anybody with my tie this morning? Okay. No? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of worship this morning. I am excited in my spirit. I'll tell you, I think we've had enough word in this camp meeting to carry us through eternity. Amen. God has been so good. I've been so blessed. I was looking forward to meeting some of the brothers, like Brother Coffey. I never met him before. And Brother Tommy Cook and his wife, and your wife too. Brother. And Brother Parrish, what a blessing.
Yes.
Brother Parrish, I get his mail once a month, and I never met him. And when I saw that he was going to be here, I was looking forward. And I'll tell you, I am honored to meet such men like this. I bow down to you and praise God for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'll tell you, this instrument that God has placed in the body of Christ is tremendous. Brother Glenn and Irma, you know, just... I don't know if I'm crying to try to wake up. It's still early for me. I want my son to come here. Jacob, come here, son. This is my middle son, Jacob. And he was saying, he says, Lord, Dad, there's no people my age here. God just sent you a whole bunch of them. Say something to these people. Testify. Tell them what you told them at the other one. He's kind of bashful. Jacob is in high school. He's an artist. He plays the keyboard, and God is using him tremendously. And amen. So don't let the way some of these kids dress fool you. Amen. You want to say anything? No? Okay. That's the way he is at home. Amen. Love you. We love this song. Amen. Boy, I tell you, wasn't that just music to soothe the beast? Oh, I tell you, God just brings it in. Amen. And then he gives a song like, I'm going to do a song for you. And then he wakes you up and wants to make you do the hat dance. I was thinking this morning about this song, and my son came and said over here, he says, Dad, why don't you do that Sunday morning song? I said, okay. I don't know, you know, at this time of the morning for me, it's only 8 o'clock my time. I don't know if my vocal cords are awake or not. Can I lower this just a little bit? Will this pick it up here? Somebody say, ole. How many of you go to Sunday night services in your church? That means that half of you don't, right? I love the church. I used to say church, but don't miss wrong. But I learned different. That Jesus bought, I know that it is right. I go there on Sunday morning, but not
on Sunday night. I like to sing the songs of God. Such worship must be right. I do this on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. God bless our preacher too, and give him power and might. But put the sinner in my place, I won't be there Sunday night. I'll go through rain, sleet, and snow, do everything that's right. I'll even go to church on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. Yes, we all must die, so I hope I will be doing right. I hope I die on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I hear a voice calling, pray, give, and go. Pray, give, and go. Pray, give, and go. Don't let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do while the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Oigo una voz que me llama. Oigo una voz que me llama. Oigo una voz que me llama y no sé. ¿Qué hacer? Dime, Señor, ¿qué quieres que haga? Dime, Señor, ¿qué quieres que haga? Dime, Señor, ¿qué quieres que haga? Yo bebé. Seré tu voz. Tell me, O Lord, what do you want me to do? Tell me, O Lord, what do you want me to do? And I will. Obey your command.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And now somebody else preach.
You know, that's all right back home where half or more can understand what he's saying, but we couldn't understand that.
I did everything in English that I said in Spanish. Amen? It said, Lord, tell me what I must do. I hear a voice calling me. And it says the same thing. Don't let nobody hear you idly saying there's nothing I can do. Hallelujah. You know, God is so good. You better learn Spanish, brother, because that's a heavenly language. You better get your act together, man. My God is good. I don't know about you. In spite of me, I'm having a good time. And I come here to worship God. Amen? I had a good time with Irma the other day with a microphone. I enjoyed it. I want you to stand with me. I believe God's got a word for us this morning. I'm just excited. I just kind of, I didn't have anything pre-planned, nothing that I felt that I should study or do. I just know that I must read the word and study to show myself approved unto God. And I believe this morning that God is going to touch your hearts and going to turn you around. I know that God's already doing some tremendous things in your lives and in our lives. And we don't gather in places like this just for the sake of gathering. We come to magnify Him, who alone is God. Hallelujah. And we come to praise His holy name. God is an awesome God. And I'll tell you, people, we need to get excited about this God.
when the praisers and worshipers and the leaders are up here telling us to lift our hands and dance and clap and get excited, man. You ought to not even think about it. They shouldn't have to ask you. I mean, this God is a live God, man. I tell you, it's real. It's real in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. I enjoy seeing the elderly people getting excited and just kind of doing one of these things, man. And just stamping on the devil and just saying, hey, we got it together. Amen. Hallelujah. When I get excited, I go from a Mexican accent to a Puerto Rican, and then I go to a New York accent. So you pay attention. I just want to start out with chapter 9 of the book of Luke. If you have your Bible, I want you to go there with me. And I'll tell you, God, this God that we serve, man, he didn't call us to be a bunch of mamby-pambies. Right. Amen. The people of God all walk like they know who they are.
Amen.
And know who they be.
Yes, yes.
Amen. In the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 1, I'm going to just entitle this message for the sake of ministries, exposing the seductive lies of the enemy. Exposing the seductive lies of the enemy. Satan has lied to us too long. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff nor a bag nor bread nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. And Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I just come before you, God. I am asking for the anointing of God. Father, I ask that you would just out of me. You said rivers of living water would come out of me. God, I am asking that you would water the parched places that are here. And you, Father, by the anointing would break every yoke of bondage and remove every burden.
Yes, Lord.
God, we thank you for the power that is in us. Awesome power, God. Father, today I'm asking that you would divest us of everything that hinders us from being all that we can be. We look to you because you're our source and our strength and our power.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, we divest ourselves of carnal mind, of rational thinking. And we come to you, Holy Father. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place. You're an awesome Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so we welcome you here and we give you liberty and praise. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, pay attention. This is for you. Now turn around before you sit down and greet three or four people. Amen. I want you to feel like you're in family. Come on. Amen. My God, my God, my God. Oh, you may be seated. Let me tell you people today that God didn't call you out of darkness into this marvelous light to be defeated. We were talking last night as a brother spoke that there are 8 exhortations in the book of Revelation about who we are and the power that we are overcomers in this life.
Yes.
Every time the enemy, we know the enemy's already here to try to kill, to steal and destroy. Amen. There ain't no devil, there ain't no demon that ought to defeat you. Because if we proclaim this power that we have and this awesome God who created the universe and all that is within it, and he dwells within us, then out of us shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
The Bible says that when we are right with God, even he causes our enemies to be at peace with us.
Right.
Let me just share something with you. The enemy will always try to come and destroy you. He'll always try to come and take from you. He'll always try to subdue you. He'll always try to make you feel like you're nothing. For 3 years when I got saved, I've been saved for about 26 years now. I got saved coming out of the L.A. County Jail. And that's because at night I was hollering at the moon, brother. Oh. But God turned me around because I had a godly mother that believed that I would one day preach the gospel. So one of these days, now you're a disciple of the devil, but one of these days you will preach the word of God. And I fought my mother. I fought everything that was there. But God got me cornered between a rock and a hard place, brother. And when there's no place to look, you look up. Amen. One of the things that I've learned in life that God, because he gives us this power and authority, says that he will deliver us out of every affliction. Somebody say, out of every affliction.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, you're going to be delivered from where you are.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'm telling you that God is an awesome God and this God doesn't lie. This God is a real God, and God has set it purpose that we would be the overcomers in this life. If we walk around defeated, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be around defeated people. If I can encourage you to become greater than you are, I don't want to be around you. Amen? I don't walk and speak this way because everything is in place for me, but because God is in place. You know, sometimes I walk just like some of you there. The pocket is empty, but I've learned to praise God. It seems like there's always money for everything. You know why? Because God has no lack. When the enemy tries to come in and destroy you and kill you and take away from you, God will always send a godly person to encourage you. All you need to do is be in tune. When I started the church back when did I start? 10 years ago. That would be 86 or 85. When I started the church, you know, when you start a work, the enemy comes from all over. Let me tell you something before I go any further. You need to understand that in our churches today, the brother said it the other night. He said, there's always people that are sent to destroy the work of the ministry. So everybody that comes to church is not sometimes a godly person. And I hope there's none of you here that aren't godly, because you'll be exposed anyway. Amen. But I've had people come to my church to destroy the work of the ministry. And there's people that you're not going to get saved and you're not going to get delivered. I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. And you need to have discernment to understand those that really don't want it and those that are sent that are sold out to demonic forces. When I started the church, even my assistant pastors, I've had so many people come against me. And one thing I'm learning about walking in the kingdom of God, I get frustrated when nobody's talking about me. Especially if they're all saying good things. I want people to know that I feel good when people aren't saying all good things about me. That encourages me to press in to the things of the kingdom. It's not because I don't have emotions and I don't have feelings and I don't have weaknesses. But my God says He'll turn everything and work it together for my good. When my assistant pastor brother came against me in the church and he was trying to divide the church. I call him in my office. I says, brother, let me talk to you. He's an elderly man who worked with me. Loved this man. I really loved him. I still love him today. And I said, either you get with the program of what God is doing here at New Joy, brother, or you pack your bags and you move. He says, I choose to move. I says, God bless you. It was a real, the brother said it's here. My stomach just made cottage cheese for about 2 weeks, man. I had only bought the building about two, 3 months when this happened. And you know, when you go into a building and you buy a building for over $500,000, I mean, you wish everybody would stay and support it. And he left and I said, well, God, whatever. Of course, I was in myself. It was a hard thing for me, you know, because when you start a work, you want it to flow. But every time you start a work, it seems like all those that don't really want to flow come anyway. And so I've had my share of dealing with demonic forces, brothers, like Paul said, false brethren, been in all kind of garbage as a minister. And I've had the struggles of life, but God said He will deliver me out of all of them. When this happened and the men left, I had just purchased the building. And it was on a Tuesday morning I was going to do I didn't even feel good Monday morning to go do the church deposit for the offering. And so I waited till Tuesday morning. And Phoenix or Sun City, in Sun City especially, brothers, there's no black people in Sun City. It's a retirement community, but there's no people, black people there. And so I went to the bank that morning. And as I went to the bank, I said, well, I'm going to go to that restaurant. I'm across over there and I'm going to get me a sandwich. And the miracle was that I went to the restaurant. I only had half a sandwich, brother. That was a miracle. And as I went by, there was two black men sitting in front of the restaurant. And one of them was asleep, and the other one was awake. And as I was walking by, I says, how you guys doing? And the other one that was asleep heard it, and he woke up. He looked at me. He said, it's a good day in the Lord. And so I says, yes, it is. I walked in, came out. I was getting in my truck. And when I was getting in my truck, the Lord spoke to me to go speak to this man. And I went over there to this man. And I said, pardon me, I says, are you brothers in Christ? And the one that was awake said, yes, we are. He says, I'm an evangelist. This is my brother-in-law, but he's also my pastor. The elderly man was about 70, over 70 years old. Yeah, I tell you. And I says, can we wake him up? Can we talk to him? And he said, yeah, let's wake him up. So I went over there and I woke him up. I said, sir, my name is Pastor Duran. I hear you're a pastor. He says, yes, I am. My name is George Clark. He says, sit down. And we sat down there in front of that restaurant. He says, give me your hands. And so I gave one hand to the one brother and the other one. And we sat there. And people are passing by outside this restaurant. And this brother said, they're Pentecostal Church of God brothers. And they're prophesying the word of the Lord. And one would speak in tongues and the other one would prophesy. And one would speak in tongues and the other one says, the Lord is saying to you that that building that you just purchased for over $500,000. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. You guys don't know me. He says, you purchased a building for $500,000. And God says, he's going to take care of you. And it also says, God shows me that it's a red brick building. And it was. And I said, oh, God. And then the other one would go, and the other one would say, plus that minister that left you. God says, don't worry about it. And the other one would say, he says, the money, he's going to take care of you. In No Rabba Sandan, he says, God has sent you to this place to be a prophet to the retirement community. And they will know that the power of God is here. And they go on in tongues and they would prophesy. He says, and you will prophesy and you will speak to the government of the cities. And they will know that the anointing of God is here. And I'm awed. And they did this for an hour and a half. Everything that I was going through. He says, rejoice, God has sent you to purchase this building because God is going to make known the glory and the power of God in this area. And I'll tell you, most of those prophecies that they told me have come to pass. We enlarged our building and we grew. And that day, I asked him, I says, you know what? My church will not believe what took place here with me today. I said, you guys need to come to my church. I have service on Thursday night. He says, we can't. We have to leave. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I says, where are you guys from? He says, we're from Los Angeles. Well, Los Angeles and Phoenix is about a 7-hour drive. If you drive like I drive. Otherwise, it's going to take you longer. He said, we're from Los Angeles. And I said, what are you doing here? What are you guys doing here in Sun City? And the brother said, the Lord woke me up very early this morning. And he told me to come and wait for you right here and give you the word. Come on, somebody, get excited. Because this God is a real God. And it seems like sometimes he's afar off, but he'll never leave us nor forsake us. This God that has called us to give us power and anointing. And so the brother said, we must leave now. I says, you got to come to my church. He says, we're going to come, but not now. And so I went and I prostrated myself at the altar before God at my church. And I laid there for about an hour weeping. God, you know, if it would have been somebody from my congregation, I said, man, I appreciate the encouragement, but you know my situation. And I went home. I went home and I walked in the door. My wife looked at me and said, whoa. I said, whoa. I don't know if she thought I was a horse coming in or what, you know. But she says, Jack, you've been before the Lord. Let me tell you something. I like to tell the story because I get saved all over. And God is real. So I want to encourage you that God's not going to leave you out in left field somewhere. God hasn't called us out of darkness. Oh, somebody magnify him with me. This God is for real. He came to give us power and authority. Amen. When you're weak, he says you're strong.
Amen.
And he'll send ravens. He'll send whatever he has to send to you to take care of you. This power that he's given us. Power to cast out demons. Power to heal the sick. This God is real. And I'm going to tell you there ain't no demon in hell that can stop the work of the ministry. Because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. And we need to get excited about worshiping. We need to get excited about praising him. And we need to magnify him with all that is within us. I'll tell you, folks, when the anointing of God begins to flow and God begins to send in the people to minister to you, you ought to get excited about this thing. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes God has to work in us because there's pride in our lives. And he needs to do away with the things of pride. You don't have to be a millionaire, brother, to be proud. Amen. Amen. You can wear holy underwear and be proud. And I'm not talking about Mormon garments, honey. I'm talking about garments with holes in them. And you can be proud as a jaybird. But God came to destroy all those things so that His power could flow through us and that He might be magnified.
Yes.
Jesus said He come to magnify Himself. And I've learned something about the kingdom of God with His power He's given us. It's always from God, through God, to God. Somebody say, from God, through God, to God. That's the way it is. And when man begins to be subdued, you know, because of my character and the way I am, man, I've stuck my both feet in my mouth too many times. And God has to strip me in order to humble me. But I've learned how to walk in humility. Amen. By the way, I got rid of all my holy underwear. I bought me some new garments, brother. Talk about the fruit of the loom, man. Hallelujah. Well, we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit today. Amen. Don't buy that stuff. When you perspire, they shrink. Somebody magnify the Lord with me. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering. My God is an awesome God. Let me tell you something. When God gave us power and authority, when I learned about this power of God and I began to walk in the anointing, I said, there's nothing that is going to defeat me. I came out of a home where there was 10 and 11, 11 of us at our home. And God, I had godly parents. I said, my God will meet all our needs, son. I'll tell you, some of you might be complaining because you have nothing but beans and chili and potatoes. Man, I grew up on this stuff and look what it did. I mean, it's good stuff. Amen. It's good stuff. Amen. So God will supply all your needs. And I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you are. Mama, let me tell you something. You get excited. I don't care if you're 100 years old. You get excited about this God. And my grandpa, I don't care if you're 85, 100 years old. You get excited about worshiping God. You see, one, I have a problem because God has sent us to Sun City. And Sun City is there shouldn't be no Sun City. God didn't call the people, elderly people, to go into a place and retire like a bunch of elephants. I'm telling you. God said that the elderly will teach the young adults. Let me tell you something. Not every young child, not every teenager is a rebel. There are godly people that want to serve God that are young. And in this generation, we need the grandmas and the grandpas to say, son, let me talk to you about this God that I served for years. Come on, magnify Jesus with me. Amen. See, God wants to strip us in order so that the power of God can flow through us. I had a young man come. You know, this word is not just for the apostles and for Daniel and for Abraham. This is a today gospel. If you don't apply these words for today, when we're talking what Daniel did and what David did and all this, you're missing it. I'm telling you again, you are missing it. Because this gospel is for today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He didn't come us to get excited about Daniel being in the lion's den and snakes, things turning to snakes and all this stuff. Man, it's happening today. I'm telling you, He's alive. He's real. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody magnify Him with me. Somebody give Him praise. Somebody get excited. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh. Yeah, He's alive. He's alive. Amen. Some of us still have the mentality that He's the Rip Van Winkle up there with a long beard, man. Let me tell you, this God that I serve neither slumbers nor sleeps. Amen. For a long time, I was confused about the word slumber because I used to hang around with Henry, little Henry, when we were kids. And the Cubs, we were divided by the railroad tracks. And the whites on one side and the browns on the other. And I remember one time we went over and the Cub asked Henry, says, Henry, do you slumber in bed? And Henry looked at him. We were little kids. I remember we were about 6, 7 years old. And Henry looks at him, are you crazy? I don't slumber in bed. And I asked Henry, I said, Henry, what does slumber mean? And Henry says, well, he wants to know if I wet the bed. Talk about confusion. The enemy wants to confuse you. But God came to set you free. Somebody, somebody get excited about the righteousness and truth of God. Amen. Let me tell you one of the worst things that there's in the people today is pride. You know that the Bible says that pride goes before a fall. And if you understand some of the scriptures, we look at some of the, I'm going to deal with some teachings we saw about Job and Peter. This guy, as much as we look at Job and said he was a righteous man, there was a lot of pride in Job. There was a lot of pride in Peter. And these were men that were godly men that follow God. That's why God says we need to gymnasco ourselves. We need to divest ourselves. And we need to go as one that goes to the gymnasium to divest himself. You know, some of the things that happen in the kingdom of God is that we need to, you know, that's why you see the basketball players and the wrestlers and some of them, they're almost naked. Because they don't want no encumbrance there. And so God wants to divest us of everything that hinders us from being what God wants us to be. He doesn't want to, divest means it's when you vest, a vest is something you put on. You divest yourselves, you take it off. And let me tell you, some of you can have more power and more anointing. They don't even have to cast demons out of you. If you just get the mind of God and understand what God is saying, there's truth that I have learned that nobody has to come and cast demons out of me. This is truth. I will not do it no more. Amen. That's why the enemy comes and perverts us with all kinds of demonic stuff, especially in marriages and stuff. And I'm going to touch on this just for the sake of delivering you. Some of you need to get off your perversions in the bedroom. Some of you need to deal with the perversion of sex and oral sex in the bedroom. That is the most ungodly, demonic thing that there is in the house of worship. And God spoke about that in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. And they said that they wept for Tamus. The Bible says they wept for Tamus and they put their nose or the branch to the twig or the twig to, what was it? To the nose. And that means the whole facial opening was put, the women were putting that to the privates of the statue. And let me tell you, when we deal with those things and divest ourselves of the garbage, God will set us free so that we can worship Him. We as humans do things that dogs don't do. Amen. And I know a lot of times people say, well, that Jack DeWay, he preaches nasty from the pulpit. No, I'm telling you, when I learned these principles and I applied these principles, brother, I was going to say, Father Glenn. I looked at him, I thought he had a back collar there, bro. And God begins to set us free from the demonic things that entice the flesh. And He begins to bring us into a greater place of revelation and anointing so that the flow of God can flow pure through us. Whether you understand it or not, because of some of the hindrances in our nature and in our minds, we pollute the Word of God. The Word of God is pure, but we pollute it. Amen. If I'm over here preaching to you and I'm committing adultery or whatever, what do you think is taking place in the spirit realm? Amen. And so God wants to divest me of everything so that the pureness of the Word can flow through me because I'm a vessel of honor in the house of worship. And God has been divesting, God has been taking, God has been breaking, God has been taking off of me. Amen. I've learned how to hear the voice of God and I've learned how to say, I don't do dumb things with my wife. Not because I haven't done anything. Not because I haven't polluted and not because I haven't done the junk of perverted sex in my life. But when I learned truth that says, I told my wife, you and I will never do it. And I don't do it. I don't care what the flesh says. Let me tell you something. You get your act together. And people said, I talked to a brother the other day here. He says, I never knew that. I thought whatever was done in closed doors goes. I said, that's a lie from the pit of hell, brother. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something, just for the sake of sharing with you. One of my assistant pastors used to manage the Baptist hospitals in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'll tell you, man is of the worst creature to do the worst things. They used to come in and he says, Jack, they used to bring women in and they used to take light bulbs and bottles and everything out of the woman. Because somebody was so demonic a creature that he would do things to a woman that you ought not to do. And I don't care if you control by anal sex or whatever, man. You need to be divested of every garbage so all these things can make you flow as a pure instrument to the house of worship. And don't look at me, Grandma, like, man, I never had those thoughts. Yes, you did. Amen. The carnal mind is tremendous. It's one of the most demonic instruments. That's why Jesus said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Next time, young man or young woman, your wife wants to do oral sex, this is not right in the sight of God. Come on.
I had a young man, let me tell you something. When God begins to divest us of pride and everything, I had a man, after I did some teaching on deliverance in my church, he called one of my elders. He says, I'm not going to do what Pastor Jack tells me. He's not going to mess up my life. He's not going to mess up my marriage. And I says, brother, you know why he says that? Because he's a pervert. How many of you want to be delivered, want to be set free from every garbage? Let me tell you, somebody was saying, I wish you wouldn't talk like that. My grandchild's here. Let me tell you something. If you don't teach your children when they're young, somebody's going to teach them wrong. Amen. Amen. Don't get offended about these things. This is true. Amen. The Queen of England said, one time made a statement, he says, if the church would have told us the truth, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. This is not a tickling ear gospel. This is a deliverance gospel. Speaks to demonic forces, brother, rational things, and sets us free that we might magnify him who alone is God. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This man, I said, I call him up. I said, I want to see you in my office. I see I have the tendency to call the government in and says, I call in the councilman and says, I want to see you in my office. Don't do that because they'll kick you out of the city. But I've dealt with the councilman. I said, I want to see you in my office. Chief of police, I said, I want to see you in my office. I want to know what's going on in this city. Why are you guys messed up? Let me tell you something. God didn't call us into the area of weakness. He says, if you don't rule and take, many will go to hell. I called this man to my office. I says, I hear you're coming against the teaching of perverted sex in the bedroom. He says, well, the Baptist preacher down the street says he's all right. I says, why don't you go bring him to me and tell him I want to see him in my office. If Billy Graham comes and teaches contrary to what I'm telling you, send him to me. I says, and now show him the word. Benny Hinn comes and teaches that, brother. I've had to send letters and I've had to send tapes to Brother Goodwin and all that. And I'm not exhorting myself because God has dealt with me in a bunch of garbage too, brother. You know? And I thank God for the brothers that have the guts to say, Jack, this is wrong and this is what you need to do. And I've hearkened to the voice of the prophet. I've heard some of these ministers in TV get up and say, whatever you do behind closed doors is all right. I'm going to tell you again, don't listen to that lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm telling you again, it's a lie from the pit of hell. I call this man, I says, sit down. I says, I hear you're having problems with my teaching, brother. I says, can you prove me wrong scripturally? He says, no. And I says, is it all right for a father to have sex with his daughter? He said, no. I says, is it all right for a mother to have sex with her son? He said, no. I says, then why have you been molesting your daughter for a whole year? I mean, he would have wished that I was dead or he was dead. Let me tell you something. God is not playing games. God is not just a comforter. He's a deliverer. He's righteous. He's truth. He's pure. He's holy. And if we're going to be holy people, we need to divest ourselves of all the garbage that comes around us. Pride, everything's got to go. And he said, well, I never had sex with my daughter. I said, you've had oral sex with her? He says, how do you know? I says, is it true? He started weeping. He says, with my tongue, I touched my daughter for a whole year. Then I talked to the daughter. The daughter is a basket case. Drugs, cocaine. If I was to tell her her dad was wrong, she'd probably fight me. But she feels like killing her own father. Let me tell you something. We're not playing here with just flesh. We're dealing with demonic forces. Our war is not against flesh and blood. This power that God has given us is not just so that we can walk in a la-la land. We're going to the Holy Land. And God wants holy people that are divesting themselves of all the garbage. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you truth today. And if God calls us into this area of holiness, we better walk as holy people. When I started walking out, man, I'm still seeing things falling off of me and getting some things in order. And God is teaching us some things. That's why God, you know, when the devil had come, let me take you to the book of Luke, chapter 22. In chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you. And once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Let me tell you, in the church today, if Satan is not out getting permission, let me tell you, I've gone through a literal hell as a believer. But the glorious deliverance of God has been even greater. And so this man, I was sharing about this man that I brought to my office. I did deliverance on him. His daughter is a basket case, living in adultery now, got rid of her husband. And I said, brother, the curse is on your daughter. Because of your sin. And it'll pass from generation to generation. Let me tell you something. In my own household, alcohol, my father was a Christian. I never knew my parents other than Christians and Pentecostal. But before that, my father was an alcoholic. And it's been in our family. All my brothers, I've been an alcoholic. My brothers, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, all alcoholics, brother. Somebody's got to break the curse. And I'm taking authority. Some of you don't even know why you act the way you are. It's because generational curses are there. People say, well, it doesn't happen. It's all under the blood. I know it's under the blood. When are you going to learn to appropriate the blood? That's the whole thing. Amen. Amen. Got this man delivered. Argues about tithing and everything. And says, you have more curses in you than you think, brother. Smoking up a storm and everything. Spirit of addictions and everything are there in the household. Had a young man come to my office one time, 28-year-old, about 6'6", taller than me, big guy. He says, I've come because somebody told me, brother, that you might be able to help me. I said, well, we'll see. So sit down. See what God shows us. He said to me, he says, I have a problem. He says, this girl's name is Michelle, but she goes by Michael, a man's name, and she has a man's work, a job. I says, very simple, brother. She's a dyke. Now, if you do a man's, if you're a Christian, you do a man's work, not necessarily mean you're a dyke, okay, or you're a lesbian. But I knew. I says, it's very simple. She's a dyke. I said, but I don't understand. He says, why I love her. I'm attached to her. I says, it's very simple. You're a homosexual. I mean, this guy stood up, man, and he looked at me. He said, you're crazy. I'm a praise and worshiper in the churches, and I lead praise and worship. And he says, you're never going to call me a homosexual. I said, hey, big boy, sit down. I didn't go see you. You came to see me. You're in my office. And he says, go ahead, share. I said, you came to me? I said, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, bro. And this brother began to expound to me. And all of a sudden, after a half hour, he began to weep. I says, what's your problem? This man is now about 28. He says, when I was 18 years old, I got saved. And I went to Pennsylvania or somewhere up in that area. Where's Pennsylvania from here? Long ways. And he says, when I went over there, he says, I got saved at 18 and I wanted to serve God. And so I went to this church, and I'm not going to tell you the pastor's name. He's a tremendous preacher. He's an orator. I mean, this guy is charismatic. I mean, he's got one of the biggest churches. And I'm hoping that God puts me in his path one of these days. And because this brother has worked with Larry Lee and all these other brothers. And he said, one of the things he says is his secretary called me one morning and said the pastor wanted him to talk to me. And I said, well, praise God. Maybe he wants to teach me how to pray. He says, and pastor, he says, I'm not blaming him alone. I blame myself also. He says, he took me in the cellar of his church. And I've been having sex with him for about 8-9 years now. And I said, is God true? Or is he a liar? He says, God is truth. I says, you want deliverance? Or do you want to keep your lust and your demons? He said, I want deliverance. I took him to deliverance. I haven't heard from the young man. I trust that he followed God. Because I'm going to tell you something. The word is true, man. When you get delivered and you go back to the same garbage, it's going to get worse than what it was. That's why I don't even want to do deliverance on unbelievers. If they're going to be delivered of demonic spirits to go back to the place, man, those things will eat them alive. And I'm going to tell you something. When we begin to walk in the anointing of God, God will always reveal these things to us. And he will bring deliverance to those that want deliverance. He'll divest us of all the garbage so that we can magnify his holy name. See, this God is real. This God is not playing games. This God didn't just call us out of darkness just to take us to heaven. I'm not too much on the rapture man. I'm not a rapture man. But I'll tell you, for the sake of keeping cool, I hope we go up. You see, that's what we see here in Peter. When pride begins to go, sometimes a hindrance has come because of pride. Let me tell you something. Don't be prideful if you got sin in your life. And you want to say, no, but I don't want nobody to see me. I don't want nobody to know what my problem is. Let me tell you something. Do yourself a favor and expose that thing to somebody and get it cast out. Or you speak to it and command it to leave you. I mean, sometimes pride, you know, well, I'm the holy one, you know. I'm the righteous one. I lead praise and worship. I do these things. I'm the anointed one. Let me tell you something. If you go and have oral sex all night with your husband, don't come and lead praise and worship. Amen. Amen. I had a lady in my church says, my daughter's playing the drums when I do praise and worship. I said, let me tell you something. Not in my church. I says, your granddaughter is a lesbian. This young lady I did deliverance on her hated my guts. Because I don't know why I hate you, but I like this guy. I said, you hate me because I'm true. I'm not plastic with you, honey. I love you too much to lie to you and pat you on the back. I did deliverance on her. The demons came out tearing men, blood come out of her nose, and she got set free and went back to the same garbage again. And then they want to come and play the instruments in my church. They're sick in the head. Let me tell you something. God is not playing, not playing babysitting with us. God came that we might be set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like, is this guy for real? 250 pounds, honey. I'm for real. Let me tell you something. I don't want to teach you something that's not working for me. This thing works for me, and it's got to work for you. Amen. That's why God calls us into this place, that we might be instruments of righteousness. I think that's why our churches are so messed up, because we're not willing to stand up for righteousness and say, this is the way, this is the holy way. I enjoy coming to the house. I enjoy leaping for joy and doing Jericho marches and all these things, man. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to live my life outside the church like I live it in the church. I gave the opportunity to some of the people to criticize me, wrong or right. I said, tell me my faults. And they told me my faults. I love them. One of my greatest faults is you give everything away. I said, well, that's not too bad. In this particular scripture, when God is talking here about Peter, you see, Jesus saw the things were to come, and he wanted to deliver Peter from that. And he knew that Peter was going to fall, but he also knew that his faith would help him through.
Yes.
Because, see, God is an awesome God. See, Satan just said, I'm going to share with you why Satan wanted to take Peter, because Peter had pride, and Satan had a right to claim that pride to himself. Amen? Notice he said to Satan, he said, Satan is demanding you. He wasn't just asking. He demands that I give you to him. But he says, I have prayed for you. Amen. That's why Peter, see, when Jesus told his disciples that after his arrest they'd be offended and flee, what did Peter say? Peter said, even though they all fall away, I will not do it. I'm going to follow you. Religious spirit. Religious spirits that are there. We need to get rid of our... He says, yet I will not. But Jesus, knowing everything, he says, before that rooster, cock-a-doodle-doos three times, man, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times, Peter. Come on, somebody. And so Satan had a right to go before God and says, Peter belongs to me. He's got pride, and I have a right to him. Because it's mine. Come on, somebody. That's why you need to get rid of every garbage so Satan doesn't come and says, you belong to me because you got my stuff. Come on. Are you understanding? That's why God wants to divest us so that the pure power of God can flow through us and that anointing can begin to break every yoke of bondage and we begin to be the holy people of God. God is an awesome God within us. I need to understand, man, God is in me. And the power has to flow through me. Amen? You know, I had a... had a lady one time, and I had gone to a back there, they call it South Phoenix, which is on the other side of town, which is like, you know, you go to the barrios, you know. You know what a barrio is? Where all I guess they call it the section where the poor people or whatever. You know, yeah, cross the tracks. And I had gone over there to minister, and I wasn't even going to preach on deliverance, brother. I knew the pastor. I've known him for a long time. And he knew I was there, and he got up and said, there's no demons. I was going to speak about the Bible school. And he got up and said, well, there's no demons here, and God is word. We came from they came from an advance or a retreat, wherever the mind was, they were advancing or retreating. And so, and we went there, and there's no demons here, and God is here and everything. And then he says, Brother Jack, come and minister. And I stood up because, let me tell you something. This brother has a right to tell me to shut up and sit down. He's not going to offend me. I'm submissive to him. I don't get offended. I'm too big to cry for stuff like this. I've been told in church to shut up and sit down. Okay. And this brother, I got up. I said, brother, he was about from here to where this brother is. I said, Pastor, I love you. And if you don't want me to minister, brother, you can tell me to sit down or go home. I said, but I disagree with you 100%. I said, because there is demonic activity in this church. I mean, it was silent. So he said, I asked him, I says, what do you want me to do? He says, go ahead and minister. Hallelujah. 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 And so I did. And after I got down, I asked the people, I says, how many of you here need deliverance? Well, about 25 people came forward. And so I asked for the elders and I asked for the pastors. I says, would you, elders and deacons, come and help me minister to these people? So I got out of the pulpit and I went this way and all of them went that way. And so, well, praise God. And I started ministering to these people over here. And I started walking this way. And we met in the center with the pastor and his elders and his deacons. And they had just prayed for this woman. And I went around and I said, let me tell you your problem, honey. You have a religious spirit and you have a lust spirit within you. And she looked at me and says, that's true. I said, I'm going to come against the lust spirit within you and it's going to leave you. And so when I spoke to that spirit, it left her. When I began to deal with a religious spirit, talk about a battle in the hand. As soon as I started speaking to it, she started contorting on me. Her face go every which way. Her arms would twist on it. Her whole body. And in the screeching voice, this demon would cry, no! Real loud. Of course, everybody's scared because there's no demons there, see? And they wonder, what is this Brother Jack doing here? And every time I try to speak to that demon, it would make her do that and it would cry, no. One of the times I began to speak, I command you, and she fell down. And the brother said, oh, praise God, under the power. I said, not the power of God, brother. Get her up here. Stood up in front of me, and I said, look at me. And as soon as I went like that, she started snoring, standing up. She just went to sleep right there. You want to say sweet dreams, my man? You say, wake up! I began to speak to that demon, and that demon began to do the same thing. Finally, it came out of her. She started leaping. Says, something came out of me. He says, it's like something that happens in the movies. I says, that's probably where you got it. And if you go to some movies, I'm not here to... There's some, you know, we listen to all kind of stuff sometimes. You know, some people think that we preachers, all we do is watch the Christian station. We don't. If you want to get rid of your TV, give it to me. I know how to control the good and the bad. Amen. And that lady got delivered. After that, deliverance ministry took place in the church. The pastor, nobody talked to me. I mean, I felt like the Lone Ranger. And one of the pastors, the mother came that I did deliverance, came and said to the pastor, says, my daughter's over there and she's scared. So I went over there. The assistant pastor was over there now coddling her. I said, brother, why are you coddling that spirit? Why don't you cast it out of her too? And I left. Nobody spoke to me. They didn't even give me an offering. Which is okay. You know, I didn't go there for the offering. But it would have helped. What happened with that church, man, is later on a sister which used to go to Africa a lot. I mean, that was her territory. This lady is an elderly lady. She'd go to Africa. As a matter of fact, they buried her over there. Her heart was in Africa. And she called me. 2 weeks later, she called me. She says, Pastor Jack, I'd like to have lunch with you and your wife. I need to talk to you. I knew she had gone to the church the following week. I told my wife, let's go to lunch with the sister and see what she's got. And she came to me and she says, Jack, this and this happened. And this pastor went there and said, whoa, don't play games with me. You're talking about me. Say, Jack, you went to the church and you did some stuff that you don't approve. Just say it like it is, sister. He says, well, God's going to close doors on you. I says, not that God opens. I said, I'm not looking for doors to open. If God don't open, I don't want to walk through. God ain't going to shut doors for me that nobody can shut doors that God opens for me. Amen. Come on, somebody, magnify Jesus with me. Amen. And we're sitting in a restaurant. And we're talking, and I said to the sister, he says, well, there were no demons there, though, the people you said. I says, no, sister, because I already commanded them to leave. And you have no authority to do what you're doing. And my pastor, which you know my ex-pastor, he said, well, my ex-pastor doesn't agree with you. I says, I don't care if he does or doesn't, honey. I'm agreeing with the word. So we're sitting right there. And I said to her, as a matter of fact, I said, you have a demon lust in your lungs. And she said, well, maybe one of these days you're going to cast it out. I said, no, I'm going to cast him out right now. I don't know if that demon went over the Mexican food or not, but he left, you know. And I cast that demon out of her. And she said, whoa. She said, brother, you got to go to Africa with me. I says, no, I got my own Africa here, honey. I'm not looking for doors to open in Africa. I said, when God wants me in Africa, I'm going to tell you, I'll be there. I'm not looking for picking up money to go to Africa. A lot of people say, I want to go to Africa. Hey, if you don't do it here, don't go to Africa. Amen. If you don't do it here, don't go nowhere. Amen. But I went to Africa already. Same demons that were here were over there waiting for me to be cast out, brother. I'm going to tell you, this lady, the sister, was so odd. She kept calling me for about 3 months, Brother Coffey. She wanted to come and minister. I wouldn't respond to her calls. And finally told my wife, let's put her through, I'll talk to her. She said, Brother Jack, are you mad at me? I says, why, sister? Why would I be mad? She said, because of what happened the other 2 or 3 months ago. I says, no. I said, well, I've been trying to see if you let me come and minister. I said, well, come this Thursday. I'll give you my pulpit. I'm not mad at you. Well, she came Thursday night. And our platform was about this high before. Remember, Brother Glenn? It was about this high. And I sat right there in front, and she started preaching. When she started preaching, brother, she started coughing. And she preached. Then by the end of the service, she couldn't minister to the people because she was coughing. Just and I'm sitting there. I said, God, what's going on? He says, go set her free. I said, okay. So I just walked up. I stood up here on the little platform. She was over there with... Brought some people from this church that don't believe in deliverance. And I got her by the head. And I said, you demonic spirit, loosen her. Come out of her. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And she bounced like a ball, brother. And I'm following her. I'm on. She's bouncing right there. And I'm just like that. Come out. And this demon is bouncing. I don't know if there's demons are bouncing, brother, but she bounced. And then she looked at me, and she went like that. I says, go ahead. It will not bother you no more. Didn't cough again. Let me tell you something. This God is real. It's as real as my hand. The spirits that come to entangle us are real spirits. And God wants to set us free and give us power and authority to deliver. My ex-pastor said to me one time, I says, you're coming against me on deliverance, brother. Why so? He said, well, one time I cast a demon out of a woman and cast something like a frog in my hand and she died anyway. I said, so did Paul and Peter and all the rest. I said, don't you know that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God, brother? They branded me the demon chaser. I don't look for demons every time the lights go out. Sometimes I just want to go to sleep, brother. Are you hearing me? Amen. See, we don't have to be spooky people. God wants to divest us so that the power of God can flow through us. Yes. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, this is what God has called us to do. To magnify. I had pastors come in my church, brother. They crawl like snakes. Boom. And then the pastor said, well, how come other pastors don't know what you're doing? I said, because they don't believe in it, brother. Come on. Entanglement of the demonic forces that come. I had my own son. Nathan, when he was 9 years old, Lord woke me up in the morning. He says, the devil is playing with your son's mind. I got up and I listened, and Nathan's talking. I hear him talking. I said, why is he talking? And his eyes were... And I went in his room and says, I command you, demonic force, to loosen his mind and come out of him. My son sat up in bed and he said, there he goes, there he goes, there he goes. And in the morning I asked my son, I says, Nathan, did you hear Dad come into your room last night? This morning, son? He says, no, Dad. I said, that's okay. Let me tell you something. These forces are not only trying to destroy you, they're trying to destroy your children. That's why a lot of times the demonic forces see, if you're not a covering to your children to plead the blood over them and cast demons out of them constantly and protect them by the blood and the name and prayers at night when they're in bed. Even this one, he doesn't know that, but he's asleep. I plead the blood over him. My 17-year-old God, I protect him with the blood of Christ. Plead the blood over me, over my family. I send the word to my family. Let me tell you something. The power of God has come to the church for a purpose. Amen. God didn't just fill me with the Holy Spirit so I can speak in tongues. Are you hearing me? God didn't fill me just so I can speak in tongues. That's just the evidence. Amen. It edifies. It's a language unto God. But if all I want to do is say, I'm a Pentecostal, hurrababa, sandarababa, and defeat it the rest of my life, don't know how to overcome every situation, tremble at everything, and get shook up every time, you know. You ever hear that song? I'm all shook up. Ooh. Yeah, we used to, you know, we sing that time. Every time we get to, I'm all shook up. Ooh. What's going on? I'm just shook up. Let me tell you something. God came to shake the foundations and the recesses of your thinking until the power of God is so engrafted in you that you make up your mind. See, once you make a commitment to your decision, nothing can destroy it. That's why in marriages, if you make a commitment to your marriage and make to your decision, nothing will destroy it. Amen. Let me tell you something that my wife and I did when we got married. I said, man, we're going to, if I'm negative, honey, you be positive. That's what's kept us going. And I can honestly say I have one of the best marriages today. Not because my wife doesn't get like a lioness at times. And I don't become a roaring lion too. But because we don't agree on negativeness. Don't you know that keeps a battery going in a car? A negative and a positive. And when we're not agreement. We're not in agreement on negativeness. That's why God came to divest us of everything of pride. That's what happens here. He said, even though they all fall away, I will not fall away. And pride is there in some of us today that, man, we think that we have it all together. Nothing can touch us. Amen. I don't want to walk and say nothing can touch me. You know, because I've been bombarded. I've been attacked. I've been, you know. But God delivers me out of everything. God says before you even ask, I already respond. You know, I want to let you know that God responds. Amen. God responds to you when you're asking. I shared with you the other night how God responded while I was still asking for that land. And the phone rings and he does it. You know, I have no problem helping the brother with his parking lot. And one of my missions, I'll tell you, God provides. I started fixing that mission. I told my wife, I said, I got to do it. As soon as I started fixing the mission, they said, we're going to pave the road in front of you. I said, well, that's good. Praise God. And then I went and talked to the owner, brother, and I said, he said, Pastor, I smoothed out your front lot. I said, well, that's good. Is that all you're going to do? And he looked at me and says, yeah, we just did it today. And I started talking to him. I said, man, I'll tell you, it'll look a lot nicer once we pave it. And he looked at me and says, you know what? I believe this is your day. We'll pave it tomorrow free. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Magnify Jesus with me. I'll tell you one thing. This faith walk is a faith talk. And if you're going to walk and you're going to walk in the anointing of God, let me tell you, you look at Job. You know, Job says that, you know, the same says to God. I said about Job. I says, you know, Job? He says, yeah. I said, you know, but you heard him and you do everything to him. Paraphrasing in chapter 1. And, you know, he says, you do everything to him. I says, he's going to curse you. I says, go for it. Don't take his life. And if you go out through all the chapter of Job, that's the very first book I read as a Christian. Honest. The very first book I read was that. I said, well, I haven't lost anything. I tell people now, I said, well, it happened that they fired me. And I thought it said job. And that's the very first book I read. And I read that down and I said, gee, I thought I lost everything. And here I see Job. But let me tell you something. Let me just share something with you real quickly because I know it's about time to wrap it up. And have you received anything this morning? I'll tell you, God is an awesome God. And there's so much to teach and so much to say and so much to release that I'll tell you, you couldn't do it in an hour and a half. But I want to encourage you to believe God at all costs. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God is real. The anointing is real. The presence, the Holy Spirit is real. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't go around feeling sorry. You know, my dad died when I was 8 years old. And you know, I tell people that my mom hit me with a log. And so I said, well, whatever it takes. And if you have to test out the spirit of log out of my mind, do it, you know. But let me tell you, I'm not mocking deliverance. Deliverance is real. And some of you today have hurts and you have pride. And because of your pride, you know, you want to walk in that area of pride. And you don't want to divest yourself. And you want nobody to know. And some of you are still walking in shame. And because of your pride, you know, you're still being hurt because of some of the things that happened to you. And I know that, you know, a lot of people don't believe in inner healing. I do. It's real. He restored my soul. And the soul needs to be saved. Did you know that?
Yes.
To the saving of the soul.
Yes.
The biggest battle is not in the spirit, honey. It's in your soul. And you need to divest yourself of all the garbage so that you can be all that God wants you to be. There are people here, you never laid hands on the sick, you've never prayed for anybody, you're always looking for deliverance. It's time that you become the deliverer. Amen. It's time that you stop being the deliverer, stop chasing everything else to get delivered, and understand the Word of God, appropriate it to your heart, to your spirit. I'm an overcomer in this life. I like to get me signs in my office. Every obstacle is an opportunity for God. Amen. Attitude is everything. I have him in my office, and I look at him when I'm getting down and say, oh, my attitude has to change here. And I divest myself of all the raunchiness and all the garbage in my... Let me tell you something. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And no pride going to dress me up. I love you. I love you too much to come and lie to you. Amen. So the things, the reality of the things is a real thing. Amen. God didn't call you just for you to sit in the churches and worship him. He called you that you might come and worship, that you might go out and do a service.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you, when I went into the city and ministered to the city, one of the councilmen wanted to shut me up. And the mayor looked at him and said, shut up! You don't interrupt the preacher. So thank you, sir. And I preached. The Tibetan Foundation, as I told you, the lady from the Tibetan Foundation, I told her, said, you will not stay in the city with me. She went to India or somewhere to learn more about this garbage, and she died over there. Let me tell you something. We're not the losers in this life. And it doesn't matter how it looks to you. It might that we already know the enemy's raging because he knows his days are numbered. But I'll tell you one thing. It doesn't matter how raging he looks, man. We have the power and the anointing to go through every storm. Because my God is sufficient. And you need to understand that for your family, for your loved ones. Don't give in to the seducing spirits to come. The seductive spirit of Satan to come and destroy you. Let me take you just to the book of Job here. So you'll understand. You know, that's why God had to deal with Job. He said, can you tell me who laid the stars? What happens with the rivers and the peripheries and everything that's there? Can you tell me the power and why a horse moves? And I'm paraphrasing some of the stuff. He says, can you tell me all these things, Job? But in the last chapter, after Job has gone through all these things, in the last chapter 42, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, in verse 1, I know that thou can do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask thee, and do thou instruct me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of thy ear, but now my eyes see thee. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. And you read the rest of the chapter. Let me tell you something. When God exposes something in you, pride, ego. I've learned something in my life. And my ego, I've watched it go ahead of me and fall down, and I clap my hands at it. I say, you fool. And then he wants to get up and come in again. And keeps falling. The Mexicans have a saying, la vanidad los tumba y el orgullo los levanta. Vanity knocks you down and ego picks you up. Let me tell you something. Stand with me. I didn't see any yawns, but I know I'm merciful to you. I didn't even touch any of my notes. So I got to preach. In half hour, you'll be here. My God will do it again and again and again. God didn't just choose us as pastors and evangelists. He chose us as the ministry of God. You might not think that you're doing much because you're in the ministry of health, but that goes in with a verse that teaches about miracles. And some of us couldn't do what we're doing if it wasn't for the ministry of health. Don't belittle yourself in the ministry. God called us kings and priests unto our God. And I walk like one. I used to walk like... You know, I used to walk like a minority. I don't know what a minority is. I walk in the majority, brother. We're the rainbow of God. We're all colors. We become a covenant to our Father. And he becomes a covenant to us. Are you hearing me? That's why they call you black, brown, white, red, yellow. Some of you are pink and purple. I'm going to tell you something. When this God begins to move in your life and you understand who you are, you appropriate it. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you again. Don't you go thinking that your race is the majority in the kingdom, because it's not. There's no such thing. There's only washed in the blood, sanctified, holy people in the kingdom of God. Come on and give him praise with me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I want you to say this with me. Heavenly Father, I've heard the word. Instruct me and teach me those areas in my life that I must divest myself of. My pride, my ego, my selfishness, all rational thinking that is not of you. God, in the name of Jesus, set me free that I might worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I want to be a vessel of honor in the house of worship. I cast aside my carnal thinking. I put on the mind of Christ that I might magnify you. Fill me anew with the Holy Spirit that I might walk in the power and the anointing according to your word. The scripture in Luke 9, verse 1 says, you have given me power. Let me not pollute your word, that the power that you have given me to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and do those things that you've ordained me to do will be done by the Holy Spirit in me. In Jesus' name, I thank you today. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for the food. I love you. And I want you to pray for me because I haven't been going out to minister like I used to. And I want God to just send me to those places that I can edify the body of Christ. I don't want to just be an evangelist. I want to be a vessel that will produce what God wants us to do. And if I offend you by my character, I don't apologize. I love you too much. Amen. I love you. I really do. It's been a real blessing to minister to you and just to see you soak it in. I trust that as a ministry this afternoon with Brother Coffee and Brother Cook, we'll just minister to your spirit and you'll soak it in like water or sponge. We're going to pray for the food. And then I don't want you to leave until I dismiss you afterwards. Father, this day we give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we've received the manna from heaven, the word of the Lord. And I'm asking, Father, today that you would just bless the food. And the blessing to those that have prepared it. What a blessing for this ministry, God. I ask a blessing upon them. And I ask that you bless the food to nourish our bodies through your service. And Father, as we break bread together, help us to share the love of God to one another. I release anointing upon these people and blessing, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go with the Shabbat of the Lord. This is what we do at our church every service. At the count of three, I want you to shout at the top of your lungs, hallelujah. You got it? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. I love you. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.